morning, party people, or good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, and welcome to Cloud Conversations. It's been a while since I've been here. Peter, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Ajia. How are you? Good to talk to you again. It's been a while since we've talked.
I know. Yeah, life got a little busy throughout the first part of the year, but I'm back. So good to see you. You are not doing a very good job about not working.
I'm not. For the benefit of those tuning in, I'm between jobs at the minute. I'm actually unemployed for 2 weeks in between jobs. I start my new job on Monday as we film this. And I promised faithfully to try and relax, but I've not. I've spent the whole time working on a new YouTube channel, which I've got very obsessed with. So I'll give that a little plug towards the end because, you know, you've got to, haven't you? But
it looks anyhow. Great. So that, I mean, it looks great. Anyway, we are here with our friend Ian Smith, who is our
guest. Afternoon.
Hi, Ian. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well. And do we need to firstly talk, Azure, about your onesie you've got on, your Christmas onesie?
Everyone who can, who's listening on Spotify elsewhere, I am wearing my Christmas onesie.
In ready in time for Christmas, right?
I'm preparing for Christmas very early because I don't know how to do that. So it's March 30th today. We're ahead of the game.
So this is what you get if you join us on YouTube. You get to see Azure in her full onesie glory.
It's got pockets.
And, yeah, it's cozy. It's got pockets. Oh, know how much you love your pockets. And the nails, show off the nails as well, because they actually match. They're looking good. Fantastic.
Thank you. We'll get them right.
But yeah, welcome to my good friend Ian, who I've known for a good few years now. We've worked together previously. We're about to work together again, which I'm really excited about. And Ian's a Microsoft MVP. He's a very, very well-known and respected figure in the unified comms space in the industry. And Ian, would you like to give yourself a quick introduction to the audience?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, I'm a MVP, like you say. So I've had that accreditation now for 9 years. So I'm actually currently in rotation at this moment for the 10th year. So I guess if Claire Smith is listening to this, I don't know if she does or not. Claire, a little plug here. Please let me have another blue little segment for my awards, you know. So 9 years and specializing in unified communication. So been living and breathing UC now for, God, a good 18 plus years around Microsoft. So I was very fortunate back in the day when I worked for a legal firm to be afforded the opportunity to go out to Redmond. And a little bit of a story actually around that. That was, I was walking past the IT director's office, and as a young 20 plus year old, he said to me, "Do you want to go to Redmond to Microsoft?" And of course, right? Of course I want to go there. I don't know what we're going for, but I was going to go there, you know? So I ended up going, and that was the early days of Microsoft trying to put voice into a product called LCS 2005. So this product, what we know for the older people who might be listening, is MSN Messenger, was it back in the day. So you know, as you can imagine, my mind was blown. What, you're going to put telephone calls into MSN Messenger? What's going on? And ever since that, you know, through the different iterations of LCS, OCS, Link, Skype for Business, and now Teams, I've been living and breathing it. And like I say, 9 years ago, I got awarded the MVP accreditation. So,
hey, Ian, a journey. I have a question for you. What was, do you remember your first MSN Messenger name, your screen name?
Yes.
What was it?
It was back in the day. I don't know if I can say it. just trying to think, actually, is it offensive? But I don't think it is. So I used to do a bit of gaming back in the day on Xbox when that was around, or PC gaming. And it was Match My Gamer Tag at the time. And it was Dustless Napalm was my name on that.
Peter, what was yours?
Yeah.
Wow. I think it was probably Grumpy IT Bloke.
Really?
I don't think I'm grumpy anymore. My wife would argue with that, but I've sort of mellowed out over the years a little bit, I think. But Louise would argue with that.
Wait, so present. you were grumpy IT. This
bloke.
Like, you know, 20 years ago, which would have made you like 30.
Exactly that. Yeah, I'm 50 now. So yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Oh wait, really? I was like half joking, but okay.
Yeah. Azure, you were thinking you were already 60, wasn't you? That's what you were thinking there.
No, you're surprised. I was making a joke that Peter was like younger, like 43.
Oh, really? Wow. Really, Azure?
Yeah, yeah. those white locks, right?
The hair gets a lot of attention. I get lots of comments and questions about it.
We're going to have to do like a catch up, you know, show and be like, what products do you use, Peter? It'll just be a whole show. Or it could be a segment, you know, like, here's my hair.
It could be, couldn't it? Yeah.
Ian, I want to know yours too. So,
yes. Whatever products I use didn't work, right? Because it's all falling out. Yeah. But I could see Peter on some sort of advert on TV. Could you showcasing some shampoo or conditioner or something?
Because I'm worth it.
Because you're worth it, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Yes.
Okay, sorry. I always like to hear people's screen names from long ago, just because, you know, it's like the youth of these days won't know what it's like to hear the door open and shut, you know, like on AIM or, you know, like people...
And also, can you remember on MSN the nudge feature where we used to make the other person's screen shake?
Yes. Good things.
Yeah, I wish they brought that to Teams, because you know the people are there really, and they're just ignoring. If you made their screen shake a little bit, you know,
that would get my attention. Be like, do I need to get my eyes checked out? No.
Yeah,
it's just,
yeah. I wish. Yeah, it was called nudge. Yeah. I think it was back in the day.
Oh, this is all coming back to me.
Yeah, I think my first screen name was Berserkly Girl, because my dad somehow had in his mind that I was going to go to UC Berkeley in California. I didn't go to Berkeley for uni, so it didn't really apply. But, you know, when you're like 9, well, what do you know? So I think my dad's first screen name was Mr. Snakey, which we were like, that could be taken a few different ways. I don't think he really meant anything by it, but it cracks me up.
I don't know. Yes. But yes, 9 years, Pete, as an MVP. So fingers crossed, 10th year.
Yeah. And as we record, the deadline is past. We've all had to get our submissions in, haven't we, by 20th, by the end of March. I think. The 20th it was, wasn't it? Yeah. So, if you've not done it by now, then you're in a bit of trouble.
Yeah. Expect a call from your product program manager.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But and then it's a long wait, because MVPs don't get to know if we've been renewed until 1st of July. Or in last year's case, it was even more of an ordeal because they had a glitch, you might remember, and we didn't get to know until something like the 4th.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was. Everybody's checking at 3 o'clock for their emails coming through, and then it came out, we're not getting it today. Like, oh my God.
Like, what happened? Yeah, this will be my first year being renewed. But when I was nominated, somebody had to nominate me twice because the notification system broke too. And I didn't get a notification until like 9 months later, even though it's supposed to be, you know, like 90 days. So that was that was fun.
Yeah.
Who was writing the flows out here? We need to talk to them.
When is the MVP summit this year? When is the summit?
April. Hold on. I only know this because I'm going to an extent.
You're going, aren't you, Azure?
I'm very excited. April 18th through the 21st. 18th to the 20th. Sorry, it's in 2 weeks.
No plans to go in person, Ian, then?
I am unfortunately out of the country in the Middle East on a family holiday. So our spring type of city break. So we're in Dubai for 8 days.
Nice.
Have you ever been before?
A few times, yeah.
Okay. Hope to get some travel tips from you at some point.
A great place. great.
Yeah, jealous of all these destinations, but but this is fascinating. Hearing back to those early days, Ian, of the very sort of birth of UC story within Microsoft, certainly anyway, and how it's evolved from Link and then into Skype and Skype for Business, and then along came Teams. And I remember when Teams landed and Skype for Business was getting quite well established at the time. I remember saying at the time, "This Teams thing, I don't get that. That'll never take off, surely." And there you go. So
I can remember. You're right. I can remember Teams coming out. I was at Future Decoded actually at the time. That's when it was launched in on the day of Future Decoded in the UK, and we're all like, "Oh my goodness, what's this? It's a purple color. What's going on?" And you know, and but Skype is still around though, Peter. It's still used. We're still doing.
Yeah. And in what form is it still around? Is it it's personal and on premises for business, isn't it? Is that right?
It is, yes. It's on premises. We're up to 2019 now, I believe. Microsoft are building a updated version of that. Because there is some organizations who have got regulatory requirements, right, that they cannot put their data into the cloud and stuff. So they need on-premises type topologies. So I think it'll be around today. I don't think Microsoft will essentially put any more features into it, so to speak, but they'll keep it current with back-end changes and all that sort of stuff. So we've recently just done a 2015 to 2019 migration for a customer. So even though Teams are around, they still continue down the Skype track.
I remember when Teams came to one of my old companies and the company was planning to phase out Skype for Business. Sometime, I think originally it was like December of 2020, and then they moved it up, and my site, we had like one team. I was like, okay, we got to get people on this. And I remember talking to managers in my department, like, hey, how can we help get you onto Teams? Like, it's a really useful tool. And one manager responded like, oh, this is great. I'd love some, you know, like private tutoring kind of on this. And one manager responded back, yeah, we're not going to be governed by Teams. We're never going to use this tool, and rejected the meeting. And then everybody else did too. And that was, and then Skype for Business went away. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Just got to keep with the times. I was like, well, Skype for Business is leaving. What else are you going to use? And they're like, we're not governed by this tool. I don't know what that means.
So, Ian, what is the current state of play with Teams from a UC perspective? Because I mean, it's not my field at all, as you well know, but I've been keeping tabs with it over the last few years, and I've seen it grow. I remember a time when it was maybe 5 or 6 years ago, the appetite was maybe not there, but that changed very quickly, and I think it's gone at pace now in terms of tying in your telephony to it, Teams, Rooms, devices, all that sort of stuff. What do you see the current state of play is, and what's new and exciting in that space?
All right, yeah. So don't quote me on the figures, but I think the last ones I heard from Microsoft maybe a month ago was 280 million active users on Teams now, which is quite a lot. At the start of the pandemic, it was 110, so it's scaled up quite a lot. But interestingly, and a key point of all this is, out of the 270 million, I think there's only 15 million who's using the telephony element of Teams. So there's an absolute open market there, right? There's another 200 plus million users where you should be able to plug in Teams to it and, telephony into it and make it work. And that's, with Insights, where you're coming, Pete, as you mentioned earlier. This is something we're talking with our customers on a daily basis. In terms of what's new this week particularly is avatars coming into Teams. So that's become public preview this week, which is great. Do I buy it? Is it more a consumer rather than business thing? I don't know. But avatars are available in Teams client, so you can change yourself into some sort of thing.
And these are the mesh avatars, right?
So
I've not played around with them yet, but they look very, very interesting.
So you're out of the app store, you just type in avatars and there's an app for it and you download it and you can create yourself as a digital type person. And it changed the background, and the background now are all animated as well now. So there's lots going on with it at this moment.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever made an avatar for work purposes or otherwise? Have you guys used Bitmoji before?
I know Bitmoji. Yeah.
My mom uses Bitmoji. I don't even know how to make one.
right. Yeah.
So this is interesting. Avatars.
It is, but I guess Azure is it something what you'd use in a personal a business space? Would you? I don't know.
My team using it. My boss likes to put all different sorts of backgrounds.
Oh, really?
First off, his current photo for Teams is he has on like he looks like he's in Game of Thrones. Like he has a fur shawl and it's mountainous in the background, or I think it might be a wall in the background. So maybe Hitachi might be using the avatars a lot just for funsies.
Yeah,
so you've got at least one customer.
That's all Microsoft need, right? Is just the one customer, and everybody else will follow, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's all.
Because that's where you're at, isn't it? You're at Hitachi, right?
I'm at Hitachi. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah,
so we've got a fun bunch of people there, and we've got like a little MVP chat, so I could see them kind of getting into this too.
Nice, good. Well, one business use case I heard of it is in terms of, maybe from a well-being aspect, there are certain people who are maybe a bit introverted and don't particularly feel comfortable being on camera. This might be a nice alternative for them to present a visual of themselves in a different way.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually. It's a really, really good point. And you're right. There is people who doesn't want to be on camera. And even coming to working at Insight, I do lots and lots of calls every day, right, in both internal and external. And the amount of people who don't turn on the camera for whatever reason is quite high, actually. You know, to say that, you know, everybody's had FaceTime or whatever, for the number of years now where they can do these sort of video calls, there's still people who don't embrace it. So you're right. There could be a middle ground of having some sort of virtualized appearance. So, could be good.
Let me ask you both, how much time do you spend on camera, say for work? And then otherwise, is it a lot? Is it not a lot?
I'm a person who is camera first always at work.
Always. And how often are you on camera? Like how many hours of meetings a day do you have typically?
8 hours a day.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I spend most of my day on calls and and then when I speak to my family, it's always FaceTime as
What about you, Peter?
Yeah, I try and follow the same philosophy. As a general rule of thumb, I'm always on camera. There's the occasional time when my mood is just not, I don't feel like I'm ready to share myself. Maybe it's early in the morning sometimes and I'm not quite at my best. So occasionally I'll not put it on. If people request it of me, I will do so. It's not an issue in that sense. What I do tend to do, I do a lot of, or I have done a lot of workshops in the roles that I've had. And to start with, when we're setting the scene and introducing, I will have my camera on. But once I get into presenting, I will quite often put my camera off. So it's not a distraction. So that works quite well, I find.
Okay. It was simply a question because I know like Zoom fatigue, camera fatigue, everything was, especially during the pandemic and, you know, starting to work from home. Oh, I know a lot of people were, or many people at least, were working from home. I wasn't prior to that. You know, I was working out of my bedroom when I was, you know, when the pandemic first happened, because I lived in a shared house with roommates. So it'd be like, my laundry is behind me. So, it was, I know for our company at the time, like, we're not going to require people to turn on because you'd be in meetings sometimes and it would be somebody in their child's playroom. So I think this could have been really helpful a while ago, just for like here we're together and you don't just see a bubble if they don't have their photo, you know, just their initials. But I could see this being beneficial in some contexts too. And then I know what was I gonna say? I lost my train of thought. There's something about me and cameras, but never mind. It'll come back to me.
And Microsoft are making it better in Teams as well for meetings as well, actually, in terms of they're doing two things. So back in the day, there used to be, before we had these Teams room systems with the cameras at the front and everybody staring at a screen, the ecosystem, the vendors now have clocked onto that people don't want to be staring at a screen. So what's happening in the product base of Teams is, they're going to split the stream up so it can have 10 single streams. And now manufacturers like the likes of Poly, Lenovo, Yealink, Logi, EPOS, they're going back to putting a camera almost back into the center of the meeting space, which then, even though you're sat around like a square table, so to speak, it's doing individual pictures of you and putting it across a mode. So it's not like you're in a meeting room. It's actually individual pictures split up. It's a new thing what's coming out. It looks really nice how it's doing it. So, awesome. Look out for that. So,
yeah.
I'm interested to see that, because I'm trying to envision something and I don't think it's what it is.
No. So do you know, like, if you were staring at a Teams room system, all you see is the person in front of you's head and then their head, and then you're seeing the screen and the distance. You all can sit back and looking at each other across the table, and this camera will take an image of you without looking at the screen. It's nice. It looks good.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's coming out. That'll be here soon.
So. One thing I started doing is, and I'm doing it now, is I'm using my iPhone as my webcam, which I find is a much better camera than on my Mac or my Windows device. It's just so much better. I mean, as you are both looking at me now, I'm guessing I'm probably a little bit pixelated, because when it's live, I usually am. Now, when people are watching this on, because it's because of my poor internet, it's not the best. But we're using StreamYard for this. But when I download this, it'll upload the local recordings, and then it'll be clear as day for those watching on YouTube, which is a really nice feature. So I love that. But using the iPhone camera, that sort of started working on Teams as well, and I think it's such a nicer experience. So there's all sorts of little things like that I've noticed lately that are really cool.
Log in to the meeting on both your computer and your phone, so you just use your camera or your phone for your camera, and then anything else for your laptop for the meeting presentation. Is that what you're talking about, Peter?
Yeah, the iPhone camera is on me, so essentially what you just said there, exactly. Okay.
But you're not logging in on your iPhone, though, are you, Peter? You're
just using the camera. Sorry, not logging in on the iPhone. No, it just does it. It's a newer feature of the latest iOS on iPhone. I don't know if there's an Android equivalent. I imagine there possibly is. No, you should.
I don't think there is.
No. Okay, I have no idea what y'all are talking about.
So what Peter's saying is, and I don't know what I thought you was going to say, Peter, is I don't know if this is pure Mac iOS type functionality as well. So I'm on a Mac, Peter, I think you're on a Mac as well.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, and because I guess our Mac computer and our phones logged in with the same iCloud account. When we go into when I go into a Teams meeting, I'm talking to a Poly camera today, but in the drop down, it'll also say Ian's iPhone. And I can select the camera, even though that's got nothing to do with the meeting, and I can use the camera just off the iPhone just natively. So I think it's a Mac thing, I think, but I could be totally wrong with that.
I think you could be right. I mean, it surprised the heck out of me the first time it happened, because my phone just made this doo-doo-doo noise, and I was looking at my Teams meeting and saying, why is my camera black? And then I picked up my iPhone, and all of a sudden, that's acting as my camera. So really cool, though. Got using that for the most part. And I got my iPhone on this little my office shed now. Honestly, my desk is full of these Archie things for my microphone. I got one for the iPhone. I got a desk lamp now. It's just full of all these gadgets now that I'm trying to get into broadcasting a bit more seriously.
Excellent.
Getting back to the point you made a few moments ago, as you're about being on camera, though, I can relate to how you were feeling when you were in the shed, because you might remember before I had this wonderful office, I was working in my back room during COVID because of the situation with my small house and two children at home. And I worked in the bathroom for many months with a folding chair, that folding chair, in fact, the one you see there in the background. And an ironing board is my makeshift desk. And if you go back to watch earlier episodes of Cloud Conversations, you can actually see that. I was always very careful how I positioned myself because I was actually sat right in front of the toilet. So if I moved the wrong way, occasionally you might have got a hint of the toilet appearing behind me. So
The sacrifices that we made, because I was working off of a nightstand that was maybe like this big as mine, my desk as well. So, oh man, those were the days.
They were the days, weren't they? Yeah.
Yeah. And where you're working, Ian, I mean, this is a familiar background I'm seeing you in. Is this your dedicated workspace, or is it multi-purpose, or is it only for your work?
Thankfully, it's just for my work. So, I have the long commute to work every day, and I have done for a number of years of 9 foot from the bedroom, you know, to the office. So I have to think about planning my journey, right? I might have to get up 5 minutes early if there's a bit of traffic in that 9 foot to get past. But I'm fortunate enough to have worked, been a home worker for many years now. Probably 15 years I've been a home-based worker. So when the pandemic happened and people, I've got to work, I'm like, no change for me. I've done it for years and just one of them things. So yeah, at the end of the day, close the door here, turn everything off and back into family life, right?
Oh, definitely. One thing I will say, though, I remember when the paint behind you was yellow, so I'm glad it's not yellow today, because it would match our, you would blend into our background. The branding of Cloud Conversations.
It wasn't yellow either, Pete. Don't say it was yellow.
Oh, I remember you telling me this now, actually. No, it only looked yellow. That's right.
It was, and I can't remember, it was like a burnt orange, shall we say.
But everyone name, I can't remember. Yellow, didn't they?
Yeah, well, people got it mixed up with mustard colour, you know, and all different stuff. But yeah, that went. It's now grey.
So, yeah. Fantastic. No, it looks good anyway. Yeah. It looks good. But in terms of what is coming next, and it's always tough to predict until you've got an event and you see all those Microsoft folks standing on a stage reading out from their teleprompters. But in your mind, what do you think would be nice to see next in the space that you're working in that UC? Is there any innovation that you can see happening without breaking any NDIs? I always want to warn MVPs of that because it's dangerous territory that we navigate sometimes. But where do you think it could go? And do you think AI might play a part in that in some way, shape or form?
It's an interesting one. The AI thing is a good thing, I think, in the right context, but I'm not sure what it means for teams and the future of teams. Where I think we'll see teams go in a product, I hope to see it, is it does become, and I called this out a couple of years ago and it still not happened, so I'm going to continue to call it out, and then when it does happen, I'm going to say, I called that 7 years ago when, you know, in a day. But I'd like to see teams become the almost that one-stop shop for all your applications. So your single pane of glass, so you don't have to go to Outlook anymore. You don't have to go to the Power Platform. You don't have to go to Shift-Base to put your time recording in or whatever. It's just everything is surfaced from Teams. Just the left-hand side toolbar just has all your different apps and you just flick between them. And that's what I thought. And then when Teams came out, I thought, this is the utopia moment. This is what they're doing. And we're just still not there yet. You know, like even you can get Outlook now to work in Teams, but it's a bit clunky.
Oh, can you?
You know, you can. There's a way of doing it. But again, it's not intuitive and it don't work exactly as you want. And all you're doing is just almost surfacing a bit of Outlook in it, whereas it needs to be native. And, you know, they've done it with Calendar, right? So just extend it now to bring your messages in there, and I'd like to see that. But in terms of go on, Azure.
Oh, sorry. No, go ahead, finish, and then
I'll. Yeah, I was going to say, in terms of anything new and up and coming, I think it is available now, but I think there'll be more in the future of almost coming back to on-premises, so you can run teams locally as well as in the cloud. And I don't know. I don't know if that's on the radar for Microsoft, but I'd like to see that there is a choice. You can go cloud or you can go on-premises, and maybe, and I'm guessing here, this genuine guess, maybe the Skype for Business 2023 or 25, whatever it is, actually becomes Teams on-premises. I'm genuinely guessing. I don't know anything about that, but maybe that gets reskinned to be a localized
show.
We should keep a notebook of predictions and revisit them every year and be like, did it come yet?
Yeah.
Right?
I best get my NDA out from the MVP and see if I've just broke any there. But genuinely, I don't know. that's what I'd like to see. And telephony element of Teams has become really straightforward now as well. So I don't see any change there. Operator Connect is here to stay, and it's easy to consume DDI and dial tone into Teams now. So.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say, I wrote a flow. So since I wanted to have my emails in Teams, I wrote a flow to have the flow bot send me my emails in Teams, and I can respond from within Teams as well. So that was a little fun exercise. Just I don't know why I decided to automate that, but I did, and so that's for productivity. That's what
it's great. And but the thing is, you'd think that Microsoft will build that anyway, wouldn't you? Right? Yeah, just have that single pane of glass to do everything.
Sure. I still like so for Teams, I don't open my documents like natively in Teams. I'll open them in the desktop applications. So I feel like because oftentimes I might be working on two things simultaneously, or if somebody sends you a message right and you haven't popped out the chat, then you have to flip back and forth between the two. So I think that's probably the only thing that I don't really use in Teams, or I'll just use from SharePoint instead.
I'm slightly different. I'll open the Word document in Teams, but then I actually open it to use the desktop app. So I might surface it in Teams, but then tell it to actually open the desktop app away from Teams. Exactly the same reason what you've just said, because then you can do your instant messaging, your presence, and then you've got your document at the other side as well. So.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I've opened it in Teams, and then maybe it's only just like the, you know, three dots open in Word, or just go to have the SharePoint site open and open from there.
You're entirely right, though, Ian. I think I've always agreed with you in that I'd like to see everything in Teams as that single pane of glass. I think there's a lot in there, but there's still a lot that isn't. So recent examples would be all the Viva stuff, all that connections and that sort of stuff is in there now, and it's easy to get to right from within Teams. But there's Outlook. Why is Outlook not in there? And one other thing I'd like to see as well is that where you can see all your list of Teams, I really wish you could collapse that so you get more screen space on Teams and for your workspace. That'd be quite nice.
Yeah, that'd be good, wouldn't it, as well? Yeah, it is. But we like Teams. Teams is here to stay. And when I, in my field of UC, I see a lot of competitors and compete to what Teams can do. And none of them really stand up to Teams. You know, they all do a flavor. Teams is the
interesting. Best, right? I hadn't thought about what a Teams competitor would be, except for the video portion, right? Like Zoom is the thing that comes to mind, but it doesn't have the full functionality of Teams. No, so interesting to go look at that.
Yeah, and lots of customers have their E3 or E5 licensing because they're using it for Outlook and all of this. So it's an easy uplift for them to just use the licensing they've already bought and add telephony or Teams room systems onto that sort of licensing scheme. So,
going back to the AI question that you had, Peter, I'm wondering if, like, I can think for Teams meetings, if AI would be able to do like a summary of your meeting minutes for you. I could see AI being very useful there. So I don't know if Copilot is going to be affecting that. Oh, Ian has a smile on his face. okay. Maybe that's a... Because what I've seen at this point is people will take, like the meeting transcript and pop it into ChatGPT to come up with a summary, or any of the other like OpenAI tools to do that. So I could see that in the future being kind of useful, or take these meeting minutes and put it into a proposal, you know, or into a PowerPoint deck kind of thing.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? So you leave the meeting room and you get back to your desk and you've already got a summary of what the meeting was. And even more to that as well, you walk into a room and AI can understand who's gone into the room. So it does some sort of face recognition compared to what your picture is on Active Directory or whatever. And also it can tell from AI where you're sat and how vocal you are in the meeting and how much you've contributed or have you not, what sentiments and what words you've used. And it can work out if you're angry, mad, sad, whatever, and report all that stuff. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
And if listening, and if you're swearing in a meeting, it can report back to your manager that you're profanicating in meetings. Lots can happen, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff that can come from AI, but I'm also a little nervous of it. I'm a little bit of an AI skeptic in the sense that it's inevitable, it's here, and it has its place. But I am also quite nervous of the pace of it, and I want it to be rolled out and developed ethically, responsibly, and cautiously. And I do worry that the sheer pace of it is a little bit scary, that the tech giants that we all know and love, and one in particular we talk about on this show, are there to win the AI race at all costs in some respects, sort of holding them to account a little bit. But where do you both sort of sit on that? Do you worry about it in any sense?
Yeah, I worry about AI. For me personally, I worry about AI in terms of phishing and being used in the wrong hands to actually gain money from people and vulnerable people who don't understand what they're being asked and what AI is asking them, essentially over a telephone call or whatever it is. That's where I don't think it'll be very good at. But somebody will create something to mass call people and tell them that, you know, they need to get a new boiler, and before you know it, they've passed the details over, right? And technology is great in the right hands, but terrible in the wrong.
That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Which has been happening for eons. So yeah, I could see that, especially if we've seen the deep fake videos, like if we can't tell what's real and fake, and people can copy the voice. Girlfriend of mine and I were talking about, so TSA is planning to bring AI into airports, and I could see that being dangerous for like racial profiling, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm in agreement. It's things have to slow down in order for us to be able to use it well or in the right context. And of course, there's always going to be people, and we've seen this before, right? That the robots become sexist, racist, you know, whatever the case is, because people feed it that information, or it's just taking from its surroundings. So it's I think it's easy to, we've seen people doing that with like ChatGPT too, or attempting to, or you know, Bing search now limits you what to like 5 or 6 searches per day, because it's trying to control like how much is feeding the bots. So
feeding the bots. Bots are coming.
They are. And I found AI to be useful because I sit on the board for a nonprofit or two actually. And one of the things that I needed help with just to save me some time is coming up with like social media posts, right? I already have the photos and everything. I can automate part of that, but coming up with I told ChatGPT, here's an email that I've sent to volunteers before. Can you write a social media post or an email in the style of me? And, you know, fill in with these figures from our, you know, adopt a roadside cleanup. It did a pretty good job. And I just went through and edited out like, you know, like, I think this is a little bit of extraneous information, or it was a little superfluous. But overall, it's like, it helped me. I was just plugging things in and then just editing it rather than having to start it off myself. So I think I'm going to try and use that at least a little bit more just to help with productivity. And it seems to work well enough for at least that. So,
I don't know if it's me just getting old on this call, but
I'm not using the microphone. It shouldn't be there.
Into a scary thing though, that you can tell the AI to go and write you something in your kind of way, and it goes away and does a half decent job of doing it. You think, my goodness.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Like, I didn't put my name in or anything because I can't remember if it's Bing or ChatGPT. You used to be able to say, write me something in style of like a celebrity. So I think it was my director had asked for something in the voice of Samuel L. Jackson about like MVP contributions or something, and it did it. And now you can't do that anymore because it's considered impersonation. Which I was like, okay, I can see that. But I just said, here, can you take this email and write it in the sentiment? But somebody else could take that email and, you know, can you write in the style of this? So I could see it going a different way too.
Yeah, as a writer, I've got a perspective on this, in that I enjoy writing and I don't want it to do the writing for me. But then I said that to my wife a few days ago, and she's just needed some text for her website, which she's put live for her arts and crafts sort of hobby business that she's developing. And she got it to do all of her intros and bios, and she thought it was amazing. So I guess everyone's got a different perspective on it, depending on where you are and what you enjoy doing. Like, I would never want it to do my PowerPoint presentation for me, but there'd be some people who aren't very comfortable with that, who would think, this is great, it saved me so much time, but I enjoy putting the work into that myself. And so we're all different, I guess, and we're all going to get different results and experiences from it.
There's a problem. What we're going to have in the world is, where does the line blur between what's real and what's not real, right? This is what we'll get to.
Yeah. Or do we think of it as, like, I'm thinking in terms of productivity, right? Do we want to spend all our time making PowerPoint decks? And I haven't used, you know, like Copilot isn't yet like released. So I want to try it out, but I imagine that it's not going to do everything perfectly. Just like me using it for the emails or the social media posts, right? For some stuff, it at least cuts down on the amount of work that I need to do, but then I can go back and edit it, you know, edit out what isn't needed or if it's not right. Right. Cause in the style of the email, in the style of me, it reminded me of the email that it wrote. And my original email was, you know, like thanking volunteers for their help and everything. And the email that it wrote reminded me of, remember when Anne Hathaway got an award for Les Mis? And she was like very thankful and everything. And I thought it was very kind, but it wrote the email in the style of like Anne Hathaway and like very superlative, like, we are so grateful and this and this and this. And I was like, that's not quite what I would have said, but, you know, close enough that I could change a few words to make it sound a little bit more like me instead.
Yeah, cool. One of my favorite films, by the way, that Les Mis 2012. Oh my God, that's 11 years old, that film now.
Yeah. That's scary. So good. So good.
I need to watch that. It's been too long since I watched it.
I don't know, hey.
Yeah, but you're so right, though. I mean, it's all about context, isn't it? And what your role is and what you need from it. I mean, as a security professional, I watched with interest Microsoft Secure this week. Again, doing worky stuff while I'm supposed to be not doing so, but it's all for my new job. So that's
of course, yeah. you keep doing that, you know. It's exactly. All good stuff for us at Insight Beat.
Exactly. But the Security Copilot was announced there, and I thought, wow, this is going to be really good because it's going to reverse engineer malicious attacks and that sort of thing, and see what went on and make hours of work for interrogators into minutes, seconds. And I thought, wow, this has real potential. So I suppose it's all relative to what you want from it, isn't it? And who you are, and the context is super important to it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. And I guess it's got to be controlled, right? It's got to be used in the right context. Be interested to know how companies embrace it, if they are going to embrace it or not. Yeah. That's the big thing, because
there'll be some who are all for it, won't there? And there'll be others who are very risk averse. Yeah. And in the space that we three work in, working with customers, we're going to experience all of that. We're going to see it from all perspectives and points of view. So interesting times ahead for sure. It's never going to be dull, is it? There's always something new and exciting on this
always
M365 platform that we've chosen to work in our in our exciting careers for sure.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to seeing how people are going to be receptive. Because even so, Microsoft Forms, for example, we don't know where that data is stored. The docs say it's stored on a data center somewhere in, I think it's in just North America. So if you're putting in information into forms, we don't know where it actually goes to. And so even I've dealt with some customers who are like, we don't really care to use forms because if somebody's storing personal identifiable information or health information or anything else, then, you know, so some of the, I have a feeling some of the businesses too are going to be a little bit wary of using these tools that even then they can be productive. And I feel the same way too, to be honest. It's how much information are we feeding AI? How much are we giving away about ourselves? I know we're all over the internet at this point, and if somebody really wants to find us, they can. But I think it's going to be a really interesting conversation to see what this looks like. And we don't even know what the licensing or pricing scheme looks like yet either. No. So it might not end up being something people want to adopt. Yeah.
It's interesting to say about us being on the internet. So totally off topic, I guess, but I went to my dentist last week, and first time at this dentist, an orthodontist dentist, in terms of getting some work done. And they'd asked me for my telephone number and my address. Goes to the dentist, sat in the chair, and I noticed on his computer, because we always look at the technology, right? Because we all work in technology, right? What are you using in here? And I noticed on the computer, it had my name. It actually had a picture of me from 15 years ago. And I thought,
whoa,
where is that from? I ain't given the picture. Mm. You know, I've given my address and my telephone number. Where is it mined that picture from? And I just think, how much are we on the internet? What we don't really know, you know, how does it know that were me? You know, it could, you know, Smith in, I think in America as well, it's a common name, right? So, you know, the God knows. But yeah, he had a picture of me literally on my profile. Like, very strange.
Yeah.
We're everywhere, Pete. We're everywhere.
I think that happened to me once as well. I think it might have been the doctor's or dentist. And I thought, yeah, exactly the same. Where they got that from? So random. But Rising's not such a common name, though. I think in my entire life, I've only ever come across one other Rising who wasn't in my family. And it was at work, actually. I had somebody ring me up. It was like a sales call, someone trying to sell me something in the job I was at. And I said, hello. And he says, yes, my name is Stuart Rising from, and I said, come again? And he was probably thinking like, oh, here's somebody asking me about my weird surname, because I always get that as well. I get tired of sort of R-I-S-I-N-G, and I've had all sorts of people. What was that? Was that raising, raisins, writhing, rivaling?
Raisins.
Yeah,
okay, my little fruit salad.
So it was a bit of a shock when I met another one. So I was like, wow, that's never happened before, and it's never happened again since.
Well, yes, and actually in Insight, Pete, you know, my forename Ian is Ian into normal name, really. The spelling of mine is unique as well. It's not the normal way of spelling it. There's another Ian Smith at Insight. So I'm actually Ian Smith number two. I've never come across that before in an organization. Like, oh, God, I'm number two here. You know?
They're at a previous company.
I-A-I-N, isn't it? And which is, I believe that's the Scottish version of Ian, isn't it? Is that right?
It is, yeah. The I-A-N is the Irish version.
There you go.
So somebody in Arizona who works for Insight called Ian Smith as well.
There was a very common name at one of my last companies where I knew of nine of them, at least in Outlook. So it'd be like Imran Khan, 1, 2, 3, 4. It was, and I was like, what happens if somebody leaves? Do they shift the numbers up or do they keep, you know, going? But people, they would say I'd get, you know, the wrong emails all the time because my name is the same. The only, you know, if they didn't have their photo, you know, in their Outlook profile, the only thing you could do is guess at one of the many nine dozen of them and then hope that your email gets forwarded elsewhere.
Well, and that's same for me. I always think, how many of my emails are going to this other guy in America? But then I'm thinking, I'm so busy, I'm quite happy for him to deal with my emails as well. So, you know, he can continue to do whatever he's doing with them. But
he could have built an admin
Yeah, it's like a PA, isn't it? The same name. In fact, I should hire him as a PA for me. So we've got 2 years.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Can I have all my emails forwarded to him too?
Yeah, exactly. He's called Ian as well. Yeah.
Yeah. If AI ever develops a virtual PA in any way, shape, or form, say, fine, I don't need one. I got the other Ian Smith already. Oh. You can use him.
Hey. Yeah. AI for a PA, yeah. There's some work in that, I reckon. I reckon that'd be great, wouldn't it? Don't ever work on your emails again. Just get the AI to reply to them. Use its intelligence to.
Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, I just want to switch gears a little bit because I'm conscious of everybody's time, which is always valuable. And I want to get to know the Ian Smith as a person a little bit more. What do you do in your spare time, Ian? What's life like for you? What are your hobbies and interests? What do you do to chill out and switch off if you do?
I do get the privilege of turning off sometimes, not as late. It's been extremely busy in the workplace at this moment, so spending lots of time sat in front of the computer, which is always good. I'd rather be busy than not, right? But in the times when I'm not working, I have two hobbies. One is I'm a season ticket holder at a football club in the north of the UK called Doncaster Rovers. Or anybody who's listened to this, if you've never heard of them, I won't bother searching them up. Yeah, I've seen the bad and I've seen the really bad. Very little good in the years I've had a season ticket with them, but I still go there. Myself, my father frequent the stadium every other week and to watch the match.
True fan,
but in truth, as you know, 20 minutes into the first half, there's always times in my mind where I'm thinking, I hope my father gets cold so we can go home early. You know, honestly, that crosses my mind quite a lot. Yeah. And actually, do you know what? Genuinely, this is what's happening as on the 30th of March, as in today. It was my father's 80th this last weekend, his 80-year-old. So the extended family, we went away for 4 nights to these lodges in the north of England. 33 of us, so a big, big family gathering to celebrate his birthday. 13 of us have come back with COVID. Me included. I'm positive with COVID at this moment. The best part about it, I said to my wife this morning, is that means I don't have to go to football on Saturday. So I've actually used COVID as a positive to not go and watch Doncaster. Yeah, so there's something wrong there, right, as a supporter, that you're actually pleased that you're not going to watch them. But anyway, that's one thing I do, and I've done that for many years now. But my true hobby is golf. I love playing it, watching it, being part of the golf club, helping the golf club succeed, you know, helping out, doing whatever. So, I love sport. And yes,
so that's my hobby. Why do you torture yourself with the football games then?
Do you know what? I don't know. It's just one of the things I've done with my father for a long time. So we just continue to do it. But if I had a choice, I'd choose golf every day.
What if he's waiting for you to get cold in the first 20 minutes?
Yeah, sadly, that don't work. Yeah. Even this weekend, he said to me, because it's coming up to the end of the football season in the UK now, and another month's time. And he said, I think we'll do another season. And I'm thinking, oh God. Yeah, here we go again. I was thinking this might be the last one. He's getting old now, you know, and... You know, so I'm thinking, but no, he said, I think we'll do another season. So, it looks like I'm there next year as well for the year. But it's more of a social thing to see my father and, spend a few hours with him watching a bad game of football most of the time. football and golf is the thing. And then I love motor racing and cars. That's another hobby. But,
cool.
Yeah.
And you like a little bit of sort of DIY type stuff as well, along the lines of, is it the chair you're sitting in that you built?
That was just a hobby. So this chair is from you can't really see it. It's from a car, a German car manufacturer. and I decided to buy it. It came out of a crash damaged car, so I bought it for a few hundred pounds and proceeded then to use the hot wiring of the seat to make all the functions of the seat work. So just a side hobby, you know, so the lumbar support, the heated seat, the bolster, yeah, so just hot wiring the seat, right, as you can do on a weekend, just to have a bit of interest. So yes, yeah, so all the functions work on it.
So like do you have a remote for it, or is it in the armrest?
Oh no, so in the seat itself, so so if you look at the side, I'm using the controls of the seat.
Okay, so it's all on the seat. I wasn't sure if you had
no
it's, or anything. That is neat.
Oh no, it's using the function the actual buttons on what come with the seat. Yeah. Oh. So yes. So just hobbies like that. Just, you know, I pick on things, think, I want to have a go at that, you know, and see where it takes me.
A heated seat for the winter.
Heated seat, and also this particular seat is air conditioned as well, and it's got massage on it as well. So
I was going to ask about massage. That was like, I was like, massage would be a very futuristic thing, and nope, it's there. This car seat has massage in it. What cars have massage in the seats?
This is a Porsche from a Porsche seat. It's got massage function. So,
okay, I've learned a lot of new stuff today. I now need a car seat for. I'm using a dining room chair for my seat because my mom is with me, and so I gave her my office chair, and I have yet to replace it. So it looks like it's the perfect time to upgrade to a Porsche seat. So
Put out the Porsche seat and get your mum, who's probably not doing much, probably, to come and give you a massage while you're working. And there you go. Best of both worlds. Right.
Unfortunately, she's busy too. She works full time. So, you know, I figured I would let her be in comfort as well while she's doing her thing.
Sure. So. I mean, there's not another demand for this union. You could maybe start this as a little side hustle.
I could do, actually. Yeah, it was. I bet there's some. There's some money in it, in truth, actually, buying seats and hot wiring them and making the elements work with it. So, yeah.
You just never know. You just never know.
Where on earth did you get this idea from?
It's just one of the things. Well, I needed a new office chair, and I thought, I want a really comfy one, and one which I know is a comfy, so I thought, I'll just buy a car seat, right, from a car. And then that, when I thought, I wonder if I can use, there's a million wires underneath the seat, as in what comes with the wiring harness of the seat. I thought, I wonder if I can splice into this wiring and make it all work. So, yeah, got the schematics from the dealership and started cutting away and making all of it work, so.
And how did you source the seat in general? Did you just ask the dealership, do you have any like damaged seats or
what's no, that? eBay was my friend. Oh, yeah, wow. So I just bought a passenger seat of a Porsche Panamera car.
That's incredible. That's really incredible.
Yeah.
That is super cool, my friend. Love it. Love it. Well, on that note, I think we're reaching the hour mark, so let's wind this one up and take it home. Before we do, though, is there any last words that you'd like to share with the audience, Ian, or let them know how they can reach you if they want to get in touch?
I've got no particular words. It's been great to be on the show. I've really enjoyed the hour, so hopefully in a little bit of, you know, a few months, a year's time, maybe I'll come back again and spend another hour. And maybe I can tell you how Doncaster Rovers have done, good or bad, in a year from now. And hopefully, I don't know. Where are we? You can see my MVP thing. Yeah. I might have another blue little segment on there, maybe.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Good luck to all of us. Good luck to all of us.
Yeah. So
we never take it for granted, do we? This is true of all the MVPs that we know and talk to. Nobody ever takes it for granted.
And that's it. When you start writing down, you think, have I done enough again to succeed? And, you know, and a little bit like what Pete's going through now. I went through last year, you know, a change in companies. So, you know, your contribution to the community kind of drops off a little bit for it did for me personally, because you're in that transition from one to another, and You know, so then you think, oh, right, I've missed a good 2 or 3 months worth of solid contributions. Is that going to affect me? So you just never know. But do you know what? If it came to an end on 9 years, it's been a good 9 years.
Yeah, exactly. And hey, there's nothing to say that it has to be consecutive. I'm sure it will, but if it didn't, yeah, you could always come back the next year and get your 10 that way. It doesn't start again from one, because I know there's many people who have missed a year and then got back into the program. So
yeah, I hope I've done enough, but we will see.
Yeah, I'm sure you will have. But fantastic. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Ian. It's been a pleasure as always, and we'll talk very, very soon. Azure, great to catch up with you as ever. And please do not forget to like, share, and subscribe to this video and also to the channel. Yeah. We love subscribers on the channel. It helps us to grow and produce even more content for you. You can subscribe at youtube.com/@cloudconversations. You can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well, and on Twitter at cloudcons365. And a final shameless plug from me, I also have a new YouTube channel all of my own, where I'm doing demos and top tips and tricks and that sort of thing now on all things Microsoft 365, including learn Microsoft 365 from the very beginning if you're new to it. So if you want to get into it, come and check me out on youtube.com/@PeterRisingMVP. So there you go. Shameless plug. But that was a thank you so much. It really was, wasn't it? It really was.
But worth doing.
Yes. Azure, any final thoughts from you? Anything you want to plug to make me feel less bad?
No. We're slowing down a little bit, I think, for the month of April. Well, that's the plan anyway. So we'll see if we actually... That's nothing to plug for me. Good.
Cool beans. Well, amazing. It's been great doing the show again, and we'll see you all on the next episode of Cloud Conversations. Thank you so much. Take care.
All right. Take care.
Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.